never filtered, always fun.
Really? Yeah. That's an icebreaker?
You dim the lights, but you have a spotlight on that, and then you walk out of...
So that's like the Costanza on the couch?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Alumni jacket with that picture up in the hall?
That in the background with a spotlight on it?
The Jeter of Toronto.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Fergie, during his Sports Center update, was just playing a clip from Ross Atkins.
Doesn't give you much.
I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, Ross? He was asked about, you know, Steve Phillips' report yesterday about Donaldson and the fact that the Jays and Donaldson have not had any conversations about a contract. And Atkins was speaking for like 30 seconds. I don't even know what the hell he was talking about. He has mastered speaking. He has mastered speaking without saying anything. No, I'm not going to waste people's time by playing it. Take my word for it. He's not going to say anything.
Lou Lamoriello is a master of saying, just talking, but he will not confirm or deny. He gives the JFJ. And he's like, I'm not comfortable talking about that.
But Lou will shut it down after that. Like, there are two different types of GMs in the sporting world.
Right.
Because none of them really give you anything.
No.
Burke will give you something, as we noticed yesterday. Jim Benning will give you something, even though half the time it's illegal and he probably shouldn't be saying what he's saying. In terms of tampering.
Exactly.
And, you know, not actually illegal in the real world, but he did get fined for openly saying they wouldn't mind acquiring P.K. Subban and signing Steven Stamkos.
We're fans of Jim Benning, the way that he
Oh, listen, I'll take anybody that's willing to say anything. But for the most part, 90% of GMs in pro sports are not going to give you information on anything. And there's the Lamoriello way, which is just not saying anything.
Cone of silence.
Like, but I mean, hey, Lou, what's up with that? I'm not getting into it. End of conversation.
Done.
And then there's the Atkins way. Hey, what's up with that? Talks for 2 minutes, but doesn't really say anything. Could have shut it down after like three words.
But he's polite about it.
Very polite. He's been good to us. He's been on the show many times.
He's been great to us. Actually,
and if you ask him about how his team's playing at that particular moment, he'll give you a real answer. If he's asking you, or you ask him about something that happened already that was a fact, hey, can you break down what took place here?
Right.
He'll give you an answer. But trying to get any news out of him in terms of Donaldson or the offseason plans, it's impossible.
In your experience, let's just go recent. Who is the most open GM or coach? Like any sport. Is it Popovich?
But not Popovich is terrible when it comes to his team. He'll talk about Trump and politics.
Yeah, like
he's brutal. If you ask him about not going that night, Steve Kerr, maybe, you know, but again, I don't think any of them are ever gonna come out unprovoked and be like, you know, turn the cameras on. I want to tell you about what's going on with this player.
I'll be honest. It's a smaller market, but I think Paul Maurice is really good at talking.
I think he's really good at being critical of his team when his team deserves to be criticized, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and like, you know,
he doesn't hide from it.
Doesn't hide from it. Doesn't try to sugarcoat it. He'll talk about the refs from time to time.
But Paul gives you, for the most part, pretty good answers. Like, he's not giving you the standard lines. Like, he tells you what he's thinking for the most part, which is quite refreshing if that's the role you're heading.
But this is how far it's gone in terms of a complete lack of openness, a lack of personality, that Paul Maurice probably isn't really that open, but compared to everyone else, you crown him.
I think Todd McClellan is gives you a little bit of transparency.
Yeah, he'll say this guy just flat out is not playing good.
When he sat McDavid played less than, 15 minutes, 16 minutes that one night. Mm-hmm. He said, with all due respect, that line, for the most part, has been our best line the whole season. But he goes, tonight they didn't have it. Or was it today? It was an afternoon game. Today they didn't have it. And that's, I identified.
Okay, I'll give you that. I mean, coaches are a bit different because I think they use the media to send messages.
And you
got to
be
players.
So careful, especially in this day and age when there's 82 games. Because everybody sits in the lounge and watches what he has to say. And it's like, if this guy just, he tries to wrench you night after night.
Well, what was it?
You want to talk about losing, what they talk about losing in the locker room? Guys will just say, screw this guy, man.
Well,
I'm not playing
for this guy. Wasn't Carlisle set, how's Reimer? Just okay. And he was just okay.
That was an accurate assessment of the performance.
It was 100% okay. Accurate.
But that was a media creation. I don't think anyone in the room was sitting there saying, how could they throw Rhymes under the bus? I'm sure the players were like, hey, can you mix in a stop?
Like, but it was a 3-2 game. But he was just okay, because if you actually look at the goals, they weren't
very good.
He didn't play bad. He didn't play good. He played just okay. And I thought that comment, I remember having to do a stand-up on SC the next day and went through his goals, and it was a fair assessment.
He was just okay.
But that was, that comment has
fallen. It spiraled out of control, but there was more context to it. That was when Johnny Burns had gone down on the same trip. Bernier injured himself, pulled himself out of the game in L.A.
Yeah.
And Reimer saved that game for them.
It was brilliant.
They won 3-2. Remember, they were down 2-0, and Johnny Burns said, check, please, I'm out. Pulled the shoe. Reimer went in, saved the game for them. And they were starting to spiral out of control. They were well into a playoff spot at that point.
Right.
And the reaction was, Randy, you're going to cause a stir by not sticking up for the guy who you need right now. You need Reimer to get you into the playoffs. But he was okay. He was just okay.
What's he supposed to say?
He
then?
Was come see, come saw. That's what he was.
Exactly. He was this.
He was come see, come saw.
I still look back on that and think that was just ridiculous.
But I do think coaches are different. I mean, coaches are more emotional when you get to them. You get to them right after a game, they're emotional. Very emotional. And even Babcock, I'll give him credit for this, because there are times where he'll stop himself and say, I'm going to watch the tape before I give you an answer on that.
Yeah.
Which in the moment, if you're the media guy, you're thinking, come on, dude.
Yeah.
I know you've got a burning take in there.
Well, if you're smart enough, you could understand that when he says that.
He knows.
Like it was like Frankie Corrado played and it was not good. And he was like, well, I can't answer that right now. I got to watch the tape. That's code for.
He was horror awful. Based on what my eyes saw, maybe I'll find something good.
It's code for ask me tomorrow after I have seen the tape twice, and I'm going to come up with a better answer.
Or I'm more prepared for a way to walk a torch, dance around.
Exactly.
But GMs, you never catch a GM off guard. GMs, they very rarely talk. When they do, they're well prepped, and they've got a game plan. Mm-hmm. They know, like Ross Atkins knows what's going on with Josh Donaldson.
100%.
They're going to trade him. They know they're going to trade him.
Yep.
If they really want to commit to signing him long term, they know they can do that. They know those two options are available to them, and they have made up their mind.
Yeah.
They made up their mind months ago, I would presume. But he's not going to say anything. And it's disappointing. It's aggravating.
But it's the world we live in.
It's the world we live in. I get it.
It is. It's unfortunate, because the world we live in, the slightest misstep is clickbait and context. And that's what it is. This guy said this, and I can't believe he said it, and what's your reaction to him saying this?
It's all about avoiding a future trap.
Exactly.
Don't say anything that they can hang us to.
Right.
Well, on the other hand of it, like, don't you want to at least throw somebody a bone in any kind of direction? Like, the fans, the media, like, say... Like, it's literally nothing from this guy every time.
Nothing. And it's not only him. I mean, Lou, the same thing. Masai Ujiri doesn't say... They're all the same way.
But that's
if you get them in a comfort zone, they'll talk about, you know, their own job, or they'll talk about, again, what happened in the past, where it can't be misinterpreted. You lost horribly last night. What happened? They can't come on and be like, well, actually, based on my algorithm, we won, or something stupid like that.
Right.
But about future decisions, where you know they know the answer, they're not going to ever say anything, because they don't want to be put in a position down the road where you say, wait a minute. You said you were going to sign the guy, and then you traded him. What the hell was that all about?
So if you're the Green Bay Packers general manager, and you interview him after the game or the next day, and you say, who's the guy who gave
up? Brett Hundley. Is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the guy who gave up the six, or sorry, Dak Prescott's.
Oh, you're talking about the Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah. The guy who gave up 6 sacks, walked around. The general manager, if he says, that guy has no chance to be on my team a week from now.
I think people would appreciate that. They'd be like, did you watch him today? Like, what do you think you've got out of this guy?
You want that.
But that would be Jerry Jones, and he's more concerned with suing the NFL.
That's true.
Trying to get rid of Roger Goodell. All right, the big news in the sports world last night was LeBron James at the Garden, his Instagram account.
Yes.
and a near fight that was never really even a fight. And to chat about it, we're joined now by ESPN's Brian Windhorst here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Brian?
Nothing much.
Thank you for doing this today. We were just talking about GMs and how frustrating it can be to try to get honesty out of them. What's your experience like in the NBA, trying to get a GM to open up and be honest about what their long-term game plan is?
Well, the only way a GM is generally going to share information with you is if you have information to share with him. It's an information exchange. And as far as, like, talking, like, in a public setting, whether it's at a press conference or a radio show or something, I mean, they really go into those generally in total protective mode. Mm-hmm. And I kind of don't blame them, because if they say something that is mildly controversial, it can only be used against them. So, you know, really, if you want information in this world, you better have some information that you can give. Otherwise, you're not much use to them. Now, you can have a relationship with them. I mean, over the course of decades, you know, you go through things with them that creates, you know, bonds and stuff. But when it comes to giving information, I mean, if I know if I was in their chair, I'd be really careful giving it up myself, because the jobs are so hard. There's so many different facets you have to face. And in very, very few industries is the guy who is in charge the lowest paid. I mean, in almost every certainty, or in every situation, the GM is lower paid than the coach in the NBA. Now, Masai in Toronto is one of the highest paid GMs. He is not in that same class. But in most other places, you know, you're trying to deal with people that have more power than you, have a bigger fan base than you, and in a lot of cases have a better contract than you. It is a brutally challenging job.
I hear you, man, and I understand it. And I know if I was in that position, I would do exactly what you just said, but it's so frustrating from time to time.
I don't think I could talk like that. Like, I couldn't talk that.
You would out yourself at some point. You'd just go, like, spiral out of control.
I would be Jimmy Benning.
We've been talking about LeBron throughout the afternoon and his Instagram account, which he loves. And you know,
why does a guy like that need that much attention?
What's your take on that, Brian?
Well, that's kind of who he's been most of his life. I mean, from when he was about 16 years on, he's a guy who's been... I mean, you know, when he was 13, 14 years old, he did something that was very, very unpopular. He, instead of going to the public school, which was the basketball power in his hometown, he went to a private school because he thought one of his best friends wasn't going to be able to play at the public school. And the kid wanted to play on the team, and so he went with them to the other school. And now, was that viewed, you know, all over the world like his moves are today? No. But in his world, where he had to deal with it on his block and in his, you know, grade school and stuff like that, you don't think that was a big thing for him to deal with? He's been dealing with this for as long as he can remember. And I do think that, you know, psychologically, you know, he does always want attention. You know, that was one of the things that would always happen in Miami. You know, when Wade or Bosch were doing interviews, he would always sneak in behind and everything like that. I mean, from a psychological standpoint, he does like to have attention. But also, you would argue that one of the reasons why he's as popular as he is as famous as he is, and in a lot of ways as wealthy as he is because he gets so much attention. He draws so many eyeballs, which makes him a compelling figure. So you would argue that while occasionally it causes problems, for the most part, it's benefited him throughout his life.
And yet there's a guy by the name of James Angelo who's sitting on the train and doesn't know who LeBron James is, allegedly anyways, and swipes his phone away when he's taking an Instagram video. Do you think that would have hurt LeBron's ego that this guy didn't know who he was?
Nah, you know, in that moment, he's just having fun. I don't think he cares. I mean, you know, if you really watch it, you know, he, I think, was put off by the bodyguard that the Cavs had there. I mean, if you really watch the video, you can see the bodyguards working overtime to keep everybody away from them.
Right.
You know, look, I lived in New York City for a few years. A whole lot of people in New York City have no freaking idea what is important in my life, and I have no idea what's important in their life. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that somebody on the subway would not know who LeBron James is. There's probably literally millions of people in New York City who don't know who LeBron James is. LeBron James is.
With Brian Windhorst from ESPN. So yesterday, what made last night's game, I think, so significant, partially the Knicks have been playing better than people expected, and the Cavs have been playing worse. But LeBron went off about Phil Jackson and his tenure there and how they drafted the wrong guy in the first round this past year before Jackson eventually left. Is that him indirectly sticking up for Carmelo Anthony and his relationship with Phil Jackson?
Yes, for sure. That's a big part of it. I don't know why LeBron picked this fight. Certain things that happen to LeBron are stuff that happens to him that is sort of a consequence of his profile. In this particular case, this was self-inflicted. He did not need to bring this attention to his team. He did not need to bring this attention to Frank Ntilikina. I mean, he probably did not need to do that. But that said, you know, LeBron is the type of guy who can, you know, who has a very powerful voice, and he knows, you know, that he can inflict some damage with it, and he was taking aim at Phil Jackson. It would not surprise me if he continues to do so. You know, Phil took aim at LeBron a few times during his career, and LeBron didn't forget that. And I think that's part of what's going on. Also, let me just say, I can't see the future. I don't know what the argument is going to be in 2021. But let's just say that there are many people that agree that the Knicks passed on a better player when they took Ntilikina. Now, again, at one point, I went 15 rounds with my friends and told them that I thought Deron Williams was a better pick than Chris Paul. I ended up being wrong about that one. So just because you feel a certain way when a guy's a rookie doesn't mean that's the way it's going to be.
Well, I also wonder how much LeBron even knows about these two guys. Like, I doubt he was in Vegas watching Summer League. How much would he really know about these two?
Well, see, that's the thing. LeBron is pretty aware. So LeBron's known Dennis Smith since he was 14 years old because he came to his Nike camps, and he's been at his home in Akron. And one of the reasons why is because they were recruiting him to go to Nike and also to be represented by his agency. Now, Dennis Smith not only did not sign with Nike, he also did not sign with LeBron's agency, so it didn't work. So, you know, LeBron wasn't able to connect them, but he has known him since he was 14. And as for Ntilikina, one of LeBron's best friends from high school has been on Ntilikina's team in France, Strasbourg, the past couple years. And he got a scouting report on him from his friend. So he knows more about him than I do.
Okay.
Put it that way.
All right. With Brian Windhorst, I know we've asked you before, and you're always the guy that people go to. Where's LeBron going in July of 2018? Is it safe to say he's definitely not going to the Knicks, or would that ever be an option? He seems to love playing there.
I would absolutely rule nothing out at this point, because just having been down this road several times before, you just don't know. You just don't know what the lay of the land is going to be in late June. And you have people out there who are guaranteeing certain things are going to be happening, and if that happens and they end up being right, I will offer them congratulations. But as of right now, everybody would just be guessing as to what would happen with him, including LeBron himself. He openly will tell you, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure as hell I'm not closing any doors. And so, you know, that's the thing that LeBron has. LeBron is such an incredible talent that he pretty much can demand anything, and just about every team, not every team, maybe not the Warriors, but just about every team would fall all over themselves to accommodate him. So as a result, he doesn't have to worry about it in advance. The teams have to prepare their books and prepare their, themselves to try to appeal to LeBron. But as for LeBron himself, he has the wonderful luxury of not having to plan ahead. And he intends to take advantage of that luxury, but it also makes it impossible to truthfully handicap the situation.
Thank you, Brian. Always appreciate it.
Take care.
There's Brian Windhorst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0% plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. MapleToyota.com.
He didn't sound too jacked up off the hop.
No, he wasn't ecstatic to be joining the
beginning?
Boys.
Yeah, the beginning of his interview, like he was not having anything about
it. It was like, what's up, Brian? He goes, not much.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. It's not like he was on hold forever, was he? We're joined now by ESPN's Brian Windhorst here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Brian?
Nothing much.
Not the excitement level we were looking for out of the gate. I thought he turned it around, though.
Oh, he was great.
He was great. He's always a great...
But we need that sound bite.
Yeah.
Like, we need
nothing
to keep
much.
That sound
bite. Yeah, if we're having a slow segment, Mulls, just fire up nothing much.
Not too much. But, like, just monotone, too. Mm-hmm. He was not...
He fired it up, though.
He got going.
Better. Did
he
we keep going. Him on hold? That's what
I didn't think we did. I got him right on at 6:10. I thought that's when he was supposed to be on. But we're leaving Bobby Mack
yeah, exactly. Let's not
waiting
do that,
here. So we got to get Bob McKenzie in here. He'll join us in studio next. Make sure you follow TSN 1050 on Instagram. You have a chance to win Leafs Devils tickets this Thursday night. Follow them at TSN 1050 and like the picture with the On the Bench boys from Leafs Lunch earlier today. And make sure you tag a friend for your chance to win two tickets to see the Leafs take on the Devils Thursday night down at the ACC. Get to our Maple Leaf lineup player of the day later in the hour. Best bets coming up, but Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider, in studio. We've got you today and tomorrow, Bob.
Yeah, tomorrow via phone from beautiful Stamford, Connecticut.
You're back down there. NBC. WNBC. Do you ever do the Howard Stern NBC when you're on NBC?
No, but I've done a couple of Howard Stern wrap-up shows in the last 2 years, so that's good.
I heard you that one time. Yeah. I had no idea you were on. I was on the way in, and I was listening.
I enjoy doing that.
There you are with John Hine.
The line went up for this year, too.
Yeah, good man. All right, we've been talking about the Carey Price news. I'm not even sure how to define this, Bob, because they don't say anything.
No, I know.
They don't tell you anything. And based on a couple of years ago where they used the exact same plan, day to day, right around the corner, then he missed 4 months, why should we believe he's coming back
anytime absolutely.
Soon?
And that's the nature of the beast. And you know what? I don't mind when teams don't tell you what's going on. I don't have a problem with it. If they want to be secretive, be secretive. But if they allow idiots like us with our fertile imaginations to run wild with scenarios and then get upset because somebody's suggesting that he's hurt really badly or he's not hurt at all.
Right.
You know, all those theories will run rampant when we don't know.
And they call you and shoot it down then if there's a theory?
Well, you always run the risk if you say, I think this is way more serious than it looks. And then all of a sudden, Carey Price comes up the next day and says, you're an idiot. I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, or someone will come out and say, you know what? He's got no injury at all. He's just taking a mental health break, and you're working with the goalie coach. Someone will say that, and Bergevin or Price or somebody will come out and say, you guys are idiots. He's got a minor injury. We told you what was going on. You don't believe us, you know. So it runs the gamut, and whatever. He'll be back when he's ready, and hopefully for him and the Canadians, he's playing better than he did when he wasn't playing well.
Well, it really is a dicey situation because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, Noodles.
Yeah.
Where this is where you'd hope someone could find the scoop through like a player or something like that or whatever. But here's the thing. This happened years ago in Toronto where Reimer was injured. Feschuk picked up the phone and said, I'm calling his mom.
Yeah.
His mom said, yeah, he's got a concussion and went with it. And Feschuk became the guy who everyone hated. Everyone yelled at him. It's like, you can't do that.
That's okay, you're a reporter. People are supposed to hate you.
And Feschuk came out and said, I'm a journalist. I'm trying to find out the info.
Yeah,
and Burke freaked out. But Feschuk's response, I'm sure, was at the time, just tell us that that's what it is and I don't have to call anybody.
Well, that's,
but don't blame me.
I was saying that in recent, a couple weeks ago, the Galchenyuk was, Mario Tremblay came out and said,
nonsense.
Yeah, a bunch of nonsense. And so in Montreal, and we were talking about it, somebody in that room, like the guys in the room know what it is. They must have had to go in and say, guys, cone of silence. Yeah. Like, literally.
Well, we were talking, it's getting so serious now, it's almost like you can't tell your teammate what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because it's like the teammate knows a buddy.
The wife and the wife.
And the buddy's got another buddy that knows somebody, and it's like, you can't tell anybody.
But in Montreal, the Mario Tremblays who are digging around on the nonsense stuff, find out what it is. And if you want to release that, then go and release that.
Same thing here. Yeah.
When you mentioned Feschuk, I thought, was going to lapse into Phil.
Such an idiot.
Every time.
I forgot about that. Such an idiot.
Well, do you want to throw your take at Bob McKenzie that I don't think it started SportsCenter? I feel like it should have started SportsCenter.
Comment?
Oh.
Anti Niemi was claimed by the Habs, and you believe.
I'm being dead serious, okay?
Yeah.
I would have called Jose Theodore before Niemi.
Or Jose.
Jose Theodore. I would have called him and said, look, we need 10 days out of you. Isn't his name Jose Theodore?
No, it's Jose.
I think it's Theodore, not Theodore.
My apologies for the pronunciation.
Yeah, we know Jose who you're talking. We know what you're talking about.
I would have called Jose Theodore in Montreal and said, can you give me 10 days?
That's like if they have trouble in the shootout, they should call. Remember the guy, Raphael, the kid that just jumped on the ice?
Oh,
The practice rink at Montreal?
But Theodore,
and Theodore was in net, and the guy just came out like he was wearing like sweats and shin pad and tapes.
Well, the best part is Theodore poke checked him, like didn't let him score. That was the best part
but
about it.
Anyways, you know what? It'll be interesting to see what happens here. But
I just think the numbers for this Niemi,
they're off the charts bad. There's no question. But it's funny because the one thing about hockey is thinks we'll fix this. And in the case of Marc Bergevin, who was in Chicago when Niemi was there, and Stefan Waite, the goalie coach of Montreal, who was in Chicago when Niemi was there, just as Dale Tallon was in Florida, was in Chicago.
Yeah, in Florida.
And the thing of it is, it's so utterly it's such an utterly disposable contract now. He's making $700K. There's no salary cap issue in Montreal. It's a roster spot. So all they're saying is, listen, we've got, I think it's 3 games in the next 5 days, 9 in the next 17. We got 2 back-to-backs in that stretch. So Lindgren's playing well. Price may not be that long, or maybe, well, who the hell knows. But Lindgren's playing well. We should be okay. But we don't want to get into a jam here with Lindgren. If the bottom drops out for Lindgren, and have to throw Fekale, who has no NHL experience in. Yeah. So let's get Niemi on waivers. If we have to throw him in, we'll throw him in. And if he's dog meat, then we'll just dump him, and then we'll try Fekale then. But we don't want to try Fekale and then be scrambling around, and them is not on waivers anymore, and there's not a guy. So it's just, it's like a $700K insurance policy easily...
Yeah, he's disposable. And to me, it's more of a slight on Fekale. Because,
sure it is.
Because you've got Montoya, who's got a concussion, and you never know. He could wake up tomorrow and be fine and work his way back into shape. And then you move on from that. You got Lindgren and Montoya. But the fact that you go and grab somebody, and Fekale is... Well, he's number 4 on their depth chart, and he hasn't progressed the way...
He's been a pro for a while, too. Yeah, he got drafted a few years ago.
To me, grabbing him off of waivers, all the other nonsense, it is just an experienced guy, but it's more of a slight on Fukali's progression.
It is. There's no question. If he was like at the top of his game and was lighting up the American Hockey League and was on a trajectory that said he's going to be an NHL goaltender... then they would probably be a lot more confident. It's interesting, too. I mean, not that they would consider it, but they've got Michael McNevin in their organization. He was so good in Owen Sound last year in the OHL. And they've had him playing, if I'm not mistaken, in Brampton in the East Coast League because they want him playing every night. That initially the way this was supposed to work is Price 1, Montoya 2.
Yeah.
Montoya comes in and helps out when Price can't go. Lindgren's our number one prospect goalie, so let's get him playing all the games in Laval with Fekale as his backup.
Yeah.
And then the next guy after Lindgren on the depth chart in the organization, goaltending-wise, is probably Michael McNiven.
Yeah.
But let's not put him in the American League. Let's drop him down and make him the number one goalie in the East Coast League so he's getting lots of action
and
developing.
So I agree.
In a perfect world, Lindgren and McNiven are the future goaltenders, maybe more so than Fekale.
With Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider. So you were talking about this over the past few days, that Nikita Soshnikov would end up getting called up. He comes up. It's the end of the Freddie the Goat era, and he goes back down to the Marlies. But this doesn't mean Soshnikov's going to play. It just means he's making NHL money. He's on the roster. But when Matthews returns, and let's presume it's Thursday, something's got to give. So what do you see happening here? Who ends up going? Is it Levo on waivers? Do they maneuver the seventh defenseman and put him down? I mean, how are they going to work this out?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't have an answer for you, like an unequivocal, this is what's going to happen answer. What I wonder, and this is, not, I got to be careful, I don't radio myself here, but...
Go for it, Bob. Say
you
something crazy.
Love, you guys love Quick when page. You do that, when I do that. I'm looking at Levo, and I'm thinking, he needs 30-some-odd games the rest of the season. to not be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, what's called a Group 6, which is kind of a rare thing, which means you've played a bunch of years and you haven't got enough NHL action, so they declare you a free agent, Group 6. So I think he's well on his way to becoming a Group 6 free agent. And I think that in a general world, Mike Babcock likes having Levo as his insurance policy. That is, he rarely plays, but if he's there, we need him. And when he's there, you can put him in a second power play, big body in front of the net, mm-hmm. plays pretty well, generates a few points, does a good job, but is low maintenance. If he's not playing, he's not complaining to the media or whatever. At the end of the day, I don't think he's getting in 30-some-odd games with the Leafs.
Not if they stay healthy.
So if that's the case, then there are teams out there I know, because I get asked sometimes other teams, what's going on with Levo? You know, and you know, you think he could end up on waivers? Do you think the Leafs will trade him? So, you know, again, let's also be clear on this too. Nobody's saying they want Levo for their first power play and first line winger, but there are teams out there that look at him and think, you know what, that guy would be pretty good on a third or fourth line. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can score 15 goals and 30, 40 points if we play him regularly on our third line. So I wonder, just wonder, if at some point here the Leafs are going to say, we're going to lose this guy for nothing at the end of the year anyways, probably. Mm-hmm. So let's move him on. And now you know, Soshnikov isn't going back down unless he's really bad. Three more games, he requires waivers to go down. And obviously he's got to stay healthy. He's got to earn it or whatever. But I'll be interested to see how that whole thing plays out, because I don't see anybody else. I don't see any other soft spot.
No, there isn't.
Up front, anyways.
No.
At all.
I mean, he's committed to playing Martin every night.
Yep.
Like, that's what he's proven. And yep. we can talk about it all the time that he should be selective. He's not selective.
Yeah,
he's
just like Hyman's playing on the Matthews line no matter what when Matthews is back. And right now, until we see otherwise, Leo's playing with Kadri, and assuming everybody's back healthy again, Leo's playing with Kadri. Hyman's playing with Matthews.
Martin's on the fourth line.
And Martin's on the fourth line.
And that's that.
And I don't know everybody's healthy, I don't know where there's room for Levo, and then we'll see where Soshnikov fits in, if at all.
Mm-hmm. To say nothing of Kapanen, who's sitting in the minors and feels like he can play. And
I
came
think
up
he's an NHL player.
He sure he is, but he's just, as Babcock has said, you know, everybody ends up on the team
at the right time.
At the right time, you know, not right away necessarily. And most people, I think, you know, hey, Kapanen was up playing in the playoffs, scoring goals against the Washington Capitals. He's in the minors because he can be put there. Soshnikov is up because his contract said if he's not up, he gets to go back to Russia, and they don't want to lose control of the asset.
Well, I mean, I think what you're waiting for, and I'm sure there have already been examples of this, is a team that's depleted with injuries who feels like they're playing for something this year.
Yeah.
If you're a bad team and you got injuries, you're like, all right, we'll just call the kids up, maybe even tank. But if you're a team who feels like, you know, you just got to get through a storm here, call, you know, that's when you can pounce. That's when you can take advantage. It happened to the Leafs a few years ago. Remember when they made the trade for Peter Holland because, like, Kadri was suspended, Bozak was injured. They thought they had a good team. It turns out that obviously they didn't. But they paid a decent price for a guy in Peter Holland who Anaheim was like, we're going to lose this guy anyway. Go ahead, take him.
Yep.
Pay the price.
So it'll be interesting. I mean, we always talk about these things in a perfect world, and then the world's not perfect, because no sooner do you talk about that than you find out that so-and-so's injured or so-and-so's not coming back from injury. Or
well, exactly. And the Leafs have to be careful, too, because maybe they're the team that finds themselves in that position.
Yep.
Good team runs into injuries. You're going to need the depth at that point.
You do.
All right, Bob. We'll catch you over the phone tomorrow from Stamford, Connecticut, and WNBC.
Thanks, boys.
All right. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. You get that reference? Did you just shake your hand?
I did.
You don't understand that?
I understand it.
I didn't
That's from Howard
head,
Stern's movie,
understand.
Private Parts.
Yeah, from Private Parts.
That's Paul Giamatti
played pig vomit in that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bobby Mack will join us tomorrow again over the phone. Dreg's in studio later in the week. We'll get to our Maple Leaf lineup contest, player of the day, get to our best bets. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine 4-Pack tonight. I'll take Pittsburgh at home over Buffalo. Columbus is going to beat the Habs. It's Carey Price news. It's not going to go over well at the Bell Center tonight. Mini at home against Philly, and I'll fade Arizona all year. Winnipeg gets a win tonight at home against Arizona. Throw down 20, you can score 111. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Really went out on a limb with that Arizona Winnipeg.
I'm fading that. They're like the Browns, man. Arizona is the Browns of the NHL. Fade them every night of the week. You're not going to get odds. I mean, the odds aren't great. But how many games have they won?
Two, I think.
No, I think it's...
Yeah, they're 2-14-3. They have two wins.
They got three loser points.
That's...
7 points.
That's pretty close to planning vacays already at the end of the year.
It's over.
Oh, yeah.
It is over, dude. They've played 25% of their schedule. They're done. They have single-digit points. It's over.
Poor Nasher. You gotta shine that.
And I'm pretty sure that he was, I think he posted some stuff on Facebook, really excited about this year, a bunch of new guys.
Sure he was excited, but I mean.
Well, dude, they're 14 points back of Vegas, and Vegas has three games in hand. Vegas, an expansion team, has 14 more points with three games in hand.
That's terrible.
It's November. That's outrageous.
It's outrageous. It's not the end of November. It's mid-November.
Mid-November. It's not even November 15th.
I just can't even imagine going to the rink every day. It would just be so miserable. It's like, let's work on some stuff. Why?
Yeah, no kidding. What?
The only saving grace, Tox. You're walking outside and it is...
It's Arizona.
It is beautiful weather. That's the only saving
grace. If you're not a scratch golfer on that team... You're doing yourself a disservice. You should
just
leave the rink every day.
Every day.
I don't know.
36
what
in the
afternoon.
What would
I do? I'd be going to the movie theater
movies.
Every day.
Yeah.
It'd be awful.
Movies, you'd hit the bar a few times, I would think.
I would hit the bar a lot.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't
that,
be
That
good.
Is the saving grace. At least you're in Arizona.
I'm calling Arizona-Ottawa this weekend, so I'm going to see our buddy... The Rash.
Tyson Nash?
I'm going to talk to him and see what his year has looked like. I mean, this guy has a... Every day is the best day in his world. This guy's got his tarp off. He's loving life, man.
He loves and he supports the Arizona Coyotes. I mean, that's where he lives now, and he played for the team.
Oh, yeah.
He's been calling games for a long time.
And
he's great at it.
Biz Nasty has joined.
He's part of the radio crew, I think.
Yeah, Biz Nasty's in the mix down there, too.
Man, that'll warp your whole image of this business when you're following that team around.
Yeah.
2-14-3.
It's not good. It's ugly.
They're only 7 back of the Oilers.
Well, here's the thing. You went out on a limb and said they're going to lose to Winnipeg. Winnipeg is a really good team. And your buddy, Patrick Laine, is on fire right
starting
now.
Starting to play well.
Five straight games he scored.
Ever since he called himself out for not playing well.
Yeah.
Guy can flat out snipe, man.
He can shoot the pot like anywhere. If it's even close to a stick, he can find a way to get it off.
Yeah he gets it off.
That's kind of like that Brett Hull release where... You can't give him a bad pass. You'll find a way to get that puck away from him. It's unreal.
It's impressive.
It is. He's kind of like that. He'll fall asleep in a game, but you give him one shot, he makes you pay. I like watching him play.
Yeah, Winnipeg's turning it around, man. They had a really rough start. They were 0-2 out of the gate. They're 9-2-3 since that start. They're second in that division.
Yeah.
And that division's having a weird start.
Yeah.
I didn't see St. Louis doing what they're doing.
No.
Winnipeg, after that start, I didn't see this either. You look at Dallas, and Dallas was everyone's pick. They're going to turn it around. People had Dallas in the cup final. Maybe, listen, there's a lot of season left. They got a lot of games to maybe turn it around. They looked like the same team that we saw in the past.
I think Hitch is still, I mean, that's...
In Chicago, look out.
Yeah. Still a work in progress. I think Hitch will get that team... to where they need to be. They're very talented up front. That Klingberg's having a year.
Mm-hmm.
But
two years ago, he had a breakout, and then last year was brutal.
All they needed was stable goaltending. That's been... And Bishop, for the most part, I didn't like his game last night. I actually watched that game from start to finish.
Why would you do that?
What, Dallas, Carolina?
Yeah, why would you ever watch Dallas, Carolina?
I wanted to see both teams play.
Why?
Carolina's a pretty good team. They're actually...
They're another sweetheart, though. Everyone had Carolina in the Eastern Conference Final.
I didn't, but I think they're on their way. It's just Scott Darling terrifies me
sometimes.
Can't do
it.
But he was good last night.
Was he?
Wow.
Was he?
Okay.
All right, time now. Don't forget to listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, come with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Coyotes.
Wow.
We just buried this team for 5 minutes, but you really want
to come out to the old War Memorial.
Make sure you tune in every day to hear how you can win tickets to see this team. November 20th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Leafs who played for a relocated team. The Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Kyle Wellwood.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Wellwood, who was in Winnipeg when they returned in 2011-2012. The Upper Deck Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. Now that I think about it, Arizona's got a couple of good players.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Well, they do have.
Turn it around.
Yeah, they might turn it around.
Clayton Keller's rookie of the year right now.
That's a reason to go see them play is Clayton Keller.
Yeah, but there's no way you're digging out of that grave you just dug.
Well, we talked about Andy and Leafs lunch and giving out grades. If the Leafs lose that game,
Fs.
What's lower than an F? They're a G.
No.
They get a G. You can't lose to Arizona. If you lose to Arizona, you are going to get destroyed by your fans. Unless the goalie has a miracle like 60 save stop.
Even Andy
like night.
Would give them a low grade.
Andy would fail them, I think. I think Andy's upset with the whole Italy missing out on the World Cup. And
so she came out guns blazing today?
I guess. She wasn't happy with us talking about her grading system. And
Freddie Anderson, B+.
Yeah. That's what you said yesterday, mocking. Anyway.
Well, Freddie Anderson did get a B+.
Right.
I'd give him that.
She loves the Freddie Anderson B+.
Okay.
B+.
We're going to be back tomorrow at 4.
We'll chat then.